So last week, God says, if I even told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. We need to be humble. We need to be humble people. We think we look at the landscape and we understand what's going on and we think we understand what God is doing. We don't. We don't understand it. I shared with you, not only, I mean, even before you get into a moral or scriptural standpoint, we don't understand what God is doing all around us. We don't get it. When you look at the universe, when you look at our galaxy, in between 100 and 400 billion stars, and we're not even sure. We've given ourselves a lot of leeway there, between 100 and 400 billion stars. And matter of fact, the galaxy is constantly, stars are dying, and the galaxy is also producing new stars. So we don't know. And God is busy doing all of that. We don't have a clue how big our universe is, and yet God goes, I got it. It's right here. I got it. But not only that, we don't understand what he's doing on our planet. I mean, it's interesting, we're reading from Job, and he's going, you don't have a clue what I'm doing. Matter of fact, I love our family. Every year, we go to Destin, and we go to the beach every year. Do you know why the beach is there in Destin, Florida? Do you know why? Because God, when he created the planet, he goes, that's as far as the waves are going to go. That's it. That's the line. No further. I'm the one who decides the parameters of the oceans. It's interesting. He talks about in the Bible, here's, you know, the world would say, oh man, it's a book written by primitive men. And yet in Job, it talks about springs in the deeps of the ocean. It is only recently that we have gotten enough equipment and we're good enough to where we could go down into the depths of the ocean. And you know what we found? Springs that we said didn't exist. And yet this primitive writer, inspired by God, goes, oh yeah, in the depths of the ocean, there are springs there. Don't tell me that God didn't write this book. He wrote this book. Not only that, but we don't even understand what's going on right now as you sit here. You think you're just sitting here listening to some boring preacher right now. But right now, in your brain, you have 1 trillion synapses firing right now, and you are making 20 million billion calculations every second. So in 1 minute, you will make 1.4 quintillion calculations in your brain, and you don't even know it. God's going, not only do you not know what I'm doing in the universe, you don't even know what I'm doing right now in your brain. I've set all of this up. He asked the question in Job, who do you think put knowledge into man? I did that. And yet we are amazed when we look at the human brain, and what do we find out? 80% of it is what? Water. How is that possible? So we need to be humble when we look at all of the landscape and we begin to tell God, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do. And he goes, I got this. Not only do I have it, if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't even believe me. You wouldn't even believe me. Not only that, when God's judgment arrives, it will be dreadful. God does have the right. He has the authority and he has the power to judge any people group, any nation, anytime he wants. And when it comes, it's dreadful. Ask the Israelites about that. Go back and look at history. It's dreadful. It had already happened to Israel. In 722 BC, they were judged. The Assyrians were the rod of God's wrath. And now here we are. We're getting close to 586 BC, and the Babylonians are about to be the rod of God's wrath on Judah. It's dreadful when it comes. But he says, if I even told you what I was doing, you wouldn't even believe me. So we pick up in Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. I'm not going to finish all of chapter 1, but we will finish that off and go right into chapter 2 next week. If you don't know where Habakkuk is, go to the New Testament and then go back 5 books, and there you go. There's Habakkuk. Trust me, if you're going, I'm embarrassed, I don't know. Now, I've been in it so long studying, if I lay my Bible down, it just opens up to it. Just wait until I get to the next book, it'll open up to that one eventually too. But I know, sometimes it's confusing. Where are all of those minor prophets in there? So, New Testament, go back 5 books. Let me read to you. I'm going to pray, actually, and then let me read to you Habakkuk, beginning in verse 12 in chapter 1. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now you would just calm my spirit. I'm so excited to deliver your word. But I pray that in my excitement, I won't miss the point of what you're trying to say. You are the author of your word. And I pray, Lord, that I preach it accurately. That those who are sitting here will hear it accurately. That I don't put Paul Lyle into these pages, but what I do is I expose how God is speaking to us. What a privilege it is that right here in this room, we hold your word. We don't deserve to have it, and yet you have blessed us with it. Lord, I pray this morning that we know more about you and we fall more in love with you. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like a fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with his hook and he drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? Would you please be seated? You know, especially now that I have teenagers, I get this a lot. When something comes up in my home, it may be just something I'm going, like, I mean, we had an issue this week. There were clothes left in the den that I'm going, you need to pick up your clothes. And those clothes weren't picked up. And then later I'm going, you need to pick up your clothes. And they still weren't picked up. And then later I'm going, you need to pick up your clothes. As a matter of fact, this is the third time, so there's going to actually be some consequences because they haven't been picked up earlier. And as parents, surely you understand that glazed over look when they go, okay, but. And what that tells me is this. You have either completely dismissed everything that I've said, and it's not important, because what you're about to say is more important than what I just got finished saying. Or, you did hear what I said, but you were so busy formulating what you were going to say after that, that you really didn't even, those calculations I talked about that were going on, those 20 million billion per second, that doesn't apply to that. All those calculations were going to was how I was going to respond to your ignorance, Father. You just don't understand. There's a reason why that the clothes weren't picked up. There's a reason why you don't get what I already know. And this is Habakkuk's, okay, God, but this is it. So he's heard the Lord say, this is what's going to happen. I'm doing a great work. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. And by the way, the Babylonians, they're coming. And they're an awful people. And this is going to be swift. It's going to be horrible. But this judgment is coming. Okay, Lord. But. And that's where we have it. Unfortunately, what I'd really like my kids to do, and what we ought to do many times, is have the same response as Job. When Job is confronted, look, I'm the one who hunts for the lions. You don't do that. I'm the one who established the universe. You didn't do that. Where were you when it was established? Where were you, Job? You were nowhere. I did all of that. And this is what Job's response was. Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have nothing else to say. But when God tells us in His Word, I've got this. I've got it under control. I'm the one who established all of this, and I have a plan. And by the way, I've already even told you the ending. I've already told you how everything is going to end. And I've got everything up to that point and beyond that. And instead of us going, we go, okay, God, but I've got some more information for you that I don't think you, God, are aware of. Matter of fact, I think you're ignorant of it, so I need to tell you what that is. And that's what Habakkuk does right here. And this is where he begins. And this is where I want to say, it's going to be swift. The judgment's going to be swift. Do not deny the judgment of God. Don't deny that it's not going to come. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to me. Look what he says. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God? Oh, okay, God, I know you're going to do something great, and I know I'm not going to believe it. Okay, but are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. We're not going to die. It's denial. It's not going to happen to us. First of all, look at the personal possession that he had. Man, you're my God. You're my Holy One. Oh, man, you're with me and I'm with you and we're not going to die. And what he's doing is he's calling upon what he knows of God. He's going, look, I know this God. He's mine. And he called on Abraham and he worked through Joseph and he defeated all the gods of Egypt. And so defeating the Babylonians is no big deal. It's not going to happen. We're not going to die. God took us, He took our people, He took us into the promised land, and we were just slaves. And yet we come up on these fortified cities, and as slaves we take it. Why? Because God is with us. We're not going to die. Even during the tough times of Judges, God provided the judges, which by the way are just saviors. They're saviors. He provided these saviors. And even now, oh man, Israel's been conquered by the Assyrians for over 100 years, But we're not going to die. We're Judah. We're not going to die. When I know about God, when I look at the history, man, this just cannot happen. This judgment, it's not going to come. We're not going to die. I know you've established them, but okay, God, but we're not going to die. I mean, God, come on. You who are purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, this cannot be happening. It's like he's informing God, this is who you are, so you can't do this. And that's what we do many times. We pick and choose what we want to think and know about God, and then we apply it to our situation and say, see, you can't do this. You can't do this, God. You've got to do this. God hates murder. God hates it. So what God is going to do, he's going to stop murder, and he's going to stop abortions in America because that's murder. So he's got to do that because we know that God hates murder. So He's got to stop that. God hates the sin of homosexuality, so stop it. God hates the sin of greed and lust, so stop it. God hates the sin of prejudice and violence, so stop it. I mean, we claim those things. God, I mean, you're pure and holy, so you got to stop these things. Do you not think there were times when I was laying in bed going, God, I know you hate divorce, so you must stop this. And yet, God's saying, look, I'm bringing judgment. And you can deny that you're not going to die, but I'm bringing judgment. And it's going to be awful. You know, the problem is that if judgment comes upon our country, listen to me, church, it's not just because of the sin out there. It's because of the sin in here. When those who call themselves Christian, who belong to the church, are right in the middle of the world, And then we so quickly go, oh man, if God brings judgment, it's for them. It's not going to be for us. We're not going to die. Listen to me. The church is looking so much like the world. You can't even hardly distinguish it. Let's just give you a couple of facts here. When attending a Promise Keepers stadium event, Promise Keepers, are you all familiar with that movement? That event? It's for men. We come together and we praise God together and with our brothers, we listen to preaching and we worship together and we grow in our faith. When interviewing men going to a Promise Keeper stadium, the men that were surveyed, because it was anonymous, and they said, okay, I can be honest here. One half of them said, I was looking at porn this week. 50%. Of the men who were showing up saying, we're here to worship God, 50%. 54% of pastors say that they have looked at porn in the last year. 54%. In a Focus on the Family poll, 47%, this is polling Christians, 47% of the respondents stated that porn is a problem in their home. It's not just something that it's viewed, it's a problem. It is causing family issues in their home. Almost half. When God brings judgment, it's not going to just be for sin out there, y'all. It's going to be for sin that's going on right in the church. Greed. Oh, man, when you look at those politicians and the Hollywood elite and those one percenters, man, look at the greed. And yet, who are we as a church? And believe me, I'm talking about not only this church, but the church. What do we find? We find ourselves constantly consumed with how do we make more money? How do we have the next level of income so that we can have the next level of house, so that we can have the next level of cars, so that we can have the next level of vacations? And I want you to know, I have been very guilty of that sin. Very guilty of that. The statistical information is this, that in the church, only 10 to 25% of the people who are members of the church, 10 to 25% actually tithe. Why do you think that is? Because my money is my money, and it's for my betterment. So I'm not going to give it to the church. It's mine. 10 to 25% tithe. 70% of this country says, oh yeah, we're Christian, and yet only 5% of the United States actually tithes, gives to a church. And it's not only giving to a church when you start talking about, what about those who are hungry? Coat drive. They don't have the clothes they need. They don't have a roof over their head. Is that a part of your life? Oh, no, I can't. I'm saving up for this, or I'm saving up for that. But those greedy politicians, those greedy one percenters, I would challenge you, and I have challenged you to do this before. You can go online and you can do wealth on a world scale and see, put in your income and see where you stand on the world scale. You'll be surprised how quickly you are in the one percenters. You'll be surprised. But Paul, I just live in a small house right here in this neighborhood. Right. Now put that on the world scale. And see how many people live on $1.50 a day. And yet we'll think nothing when we leave here today to go spend $40 for our family to go eat really bad food. Think nothing of it. It won't be just because of the sin out there. It'll be because of the sin in the church. What about prejudice and racism? To this day, the church is still dealing with the prejudice and racism that was a part of our past. We did that. We were a part of that. The church was part of saying, you're not welcome in here because you don't have the same skin color that we have. Or if you are welcome in here, those are your seats back there and we'll take the better seats. The church was a part of that. I do hear many times today, You'll hear people say, oh yeah, it's the church is still the problem. Because between the hours of 11 to 12, that's the most segregated hour in America. I want you to know, I think that is not completely true. And I think that is, many times, that is just people just trying to attack the church today. Oh, Paul, our church, our country needs to turn back to the church. But what's amazing is we can't even get, quote, Christians to come to church. Oh, we need to turn this country around. And yet, we can't get those who even say, I believe in Jesus Christ, to come to church. The numbers, according to the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion, and this is done by sociologists, basically says that only 17.7% of the country right now, 17.7% of the country is in church this morning. Less than 20%. What's even more sobering is that the sociologists say there's actually a halo effect. Now, if you don't know what the halo effect is, it is that when you answer questions on surveys, you already know what is socially good, and so you tend to answer the socially good answer, even though that's not the way your life actually plays out. So going to church on Sunday, well, socially that still looks pretty good on me, so I'm going to answer yes, even though I really don't that much. They even lowered the standard that a regular church attendee is someone who shows up for church 3 out of 8 Sundays. So basically 3 Sundays out of 2 months, that's a regular church attendee. Well, Paul, it doesn't say thou shalt go to church. It does say that we need a day of rest. We need a day of worship. We need to be in church. It does say that there is to be a day that doesn't look like all the other days. And yet, what do? We make that day look just like any other day. Why do we do it? Because it's about getting ahead. I need to work that day. It's about making more money so I can look good to the boss, so that I can get ahead. It's our kids so they can be in sports, so they can learn the best techniques, so that they can be number one on the team, so that maybe they can get a scholarship, so that maybe they can be pro, and maybe we can get ahead. Don't tell me to stop for a day and worship God. You know what's amazing is we go, man, 3 out of 8, 3 out of 8. Man, I wish the world knew the gospel. My friend, most of the church doesn't know the gospel. Some, maybe even in this room, you look at that and go, I don't even know what that is. That's 3 out of every 8 words. No, we're the church. We're not going to die. No. We're the church. I'm telling you, when God's judgment comes, it won't be just on the sin out there. It'll be on the sin also that's in the church. So Habakkuk knows it's coming. Oh Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment. I mean, he admits, you've ordained them. They are coming as a judgment. You, O rock, have established them for reproof. Okay, God, you've decided it. Okay, I get it. You've decided it. But God, why do you look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? And you know what's amazing is some of the things that are going through your heads right now. Right now, as you're going, wait a minute, but I make church more than 3 times out of 8 Sundays. Wait a minute. But I do give, Paul. I tithe. I don't look at porn. I give to the needy. I do those things. And that's also a problem because we're comparing apples to oranges here. We're focusing on this comparative righteousness. And what we ought to be focusing on is the righteousness of God. And when we do that, why don't I deserve to be judged? Why don't I? Okay, God, yeah, okay, I get it. You're doing things that I wouldn't even believe if you told me. And okay, God, but we're not going to die. Okay, but I see that you've got, they're going to be the judgment. Okay, but look how bad they are compared to us. And why would you allow them to bring judgment upon us? All of a sudden, when Habakkuk is saying in the first four verses, when he's looking at his country and he says, I see iniquity and wrong and destruction and violence and strife and contention, all of a sudden he looks at the Babylonians and he goes, but they're worse than us. And we're so quick to dismiss who we really are. Oh yeah, I mess up. Everybody makes mistakes. Come on. Just a little lie. It's not a big lie. It's just a little lie. Of course, that little lie will probably go to another lie, and then I'm going to have a lie to cover up those two lies, and so on and so on. I think there's a VeggieTale episode about that. But when you look at the Babylonians, look how bad they are. So God, I think it's right that you should judge them. But don't judge me. I mean, I only gossiped about that person to my best friend. That was it. Only right there in this circle. So that gossip is not nearly as bad as, you know, a group text. I was only disrespectful to my mom, not my dad, or to my dad and not my mom. Well, I mean, I haven't been tithing this year, but it's only October, so I still have some time. I mean, I'm going to get some money in. I'll throw a $5 bill in the offering plate later. I mean, that. But meanwhile, be sure, hey, look, I want Bible studies. I want good preaching. I want good music. We got to get on that property, Paul. I mean, we got to. We have got to get over there. We got to have some buildings. We got to get the parking lot there. And count me in for $20. I'm there. I'll get that in by the end of the year. Oh yeah, those coats, I'm going to be praying for that. I'm going to be praying that our church and our community, they get some coats together. You can count on me, on my knees, in prayer for that. Are you going to help? Things are tight right now, but I'm praying. But your Christmas decorations on the outside of your house light up the entire neighborhood. But we do that all the time. By the way, that was from the very beginning. You realize that when sin came into the world. No, I'm not really that bad. It wasn't really me. It was the serpent. That's the one. Bring your anger and wrath and judgment on that. And then Adam, no. It wasn't really me. It was her. She's the one who gave me the fruit. So, yeah, your wrath and judgment. And matter of fact, God, you actually gave her to me. So it's kind of your fault. Well, Paul, it's so tempting out there. I mean, we're surrounded by it. I mean, it's really, I mean, sometimes, yeah, I make mistakes and I fall into it. So, I mean, I'm trying, but come on. Okay, God, judgment's coming, but it's not for us, right? We're good people. We are wretched sinners. That's who we are. I mean, we have right now, we're watching an election, which I would be shocked if you would argue with me about this statement. All we have are two candidates saying, she's worse than me. No, he's worse than me. And it's playing out. That's what we do, though. They're worse than us. No, they're worse than us. So God, yes, bring your judgment on all those who are violent and strife and greedy and looking at porn and homosexuality. Bring your judgment, but not on us. We're not going to die. That judgment's not going to come on us. Oh, my word. Are we not looking at our very lives going, when I look at your holiness, Lord, woe is me. Did Isaiah say, oh, I live among a people of unclean lips? Yes. But he also said this, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. It's not just them. It's me too. The church, we're so busy thinking we're not as unrighteous. But when we look at the holiness and the righteousness of God, oh my, we're in trouble. But, and this is not Paul Lyle saying, okay, but. This is the Lord saying, okay, but I have provided salvation for you. And that's through Jesus Christ. I've already told you how it's going to end. And let me tell you, when it ends, those who are in Christ and Christ is in them, yes, I'm drawing you to me for all eternity. But if you're not, you will be condemned for all eternity. Because I am not comparing your righteousness with that person's righteousness, or that person's righteousness, or that person's righteousness, or that person's righteousness. I'm not comparing that. As a matter of fact, don't even try to compare your righteousness with my righteousness. It doesn't work. The reason I'm going to allow you into heaven is because you are covered with the righteousness of Christ. That's why you come into heaven. But if not, if you don't know Christ, if you don't trust in Him, if you don't put your faith in Him, there is no comparison of your righteousness and my righteousness. You are not righteous. Depart from me, for I never knew you. That's not going to happen. We will not die. You will surely die. You will. So this morning, as we come to the end of this sermon, I'm asking the question, do you know the righteousness of Christ? Is He your Savior? Because if you're depending on your righteousness, you are doomed. Do not deny God's judgment. Oh, it'll never happen. That's not for me. No, no, no. That's for other people. No, it's for all mankind apart from Christ. But I'm a pretty good person. Not compared to the holiness of God, to the righteousness of God. You're not. Neither am I. Comparing apples and oranges. Don't. So this morning, as the praise team comes up, I'm here to receive you. I'm here to pray with you. Pray what, Paul? What is this for? This is for you. If the Lord is calling you, no, no, no. I don't want you to be in that judgment. I'm calling you to be one of my children. I'm calling you to be covered by the righteousness of Christ, to be saved. Then just come forward and say, I believe. I trust in Christ. I've got so many questions. Great, we'll talk about that later. I'll come visit you. I'll come hang out with you. You can ask all the questions you want, and guess what? We'll go to the answer book. We'll see what God's Word has to say about it. Maybe you just need prayer. Maybe I can just pray with you. Maybe you're struggling with something. Let the church come along beside you. Maybe you need a church home. And this is where the Lord is calling you. Come be a part of Summer Creek Baptist Church. Yeah, they're a messed up group of people. But they know the grace and mercy of my Son. So come and be a part of that. What will you do this morning? Reuben and the team, they're going to lead us in song. But this is not a chance for you to just go, oh, let me just read the words and sing the song. This is a chance for you to respond to what God is laying on your heart this morning. What will you do? Let's pray.